It's our privilege to have with us the Linvilles, Ben, Stephanie, Audrey, and Sabrina. And we are thankful that we had the opportunity to meet them as a result of the Hafner family. Stephanie was a Hafner before she became a Linville. And the Lord has burdened their heart for missions. Brother Ben graduated from Ambassador Baptist College in Lattimore, North Carolina, with an evangelistic degree. And they've been on deputation raising support, and we're glad that they're able to be with us tonight. So, Brother Ben, would you come?
I want to ask you to open up your Bibles this evening to the book of John. John chapter 17. I'd like to encourage you to stop by our table out here in the lobby a little bit later. You can grab one of our prayer cards. We have them. They're out there. They're in the center of the table. In addition to our prayer cards, you can also sign up if you'd like to receive an email update about our ministry. We send that out on a monthly or a bi-monthly basis. So if you'd be interested in signing up to receive that, we would love to keep you abreast of what's going on in our ministry. But your turn to John chapter 17, we'll get there in just a moment. But while you're turning there and when you get there, I want you to think with me for just a few moments about how much we hate in our culture to wait. We hate to wait, don't we? Now, I know there may be wives looking at husbands and husbands looking at wives right now. And I'm not going to pick on any of you, but we all know the type when you're in the drive-through and your order takes longer than 60 seconds or 63 seconds or whatever. You know, you're asking for free milkshakes and all of this stuff. You know, we don't like to wait. We have microwaves so that we can have dinner prepared in the blink of an eye. If we look at how our computers save us time, if that would be what they do, I'm not entirely convinced sometimes. Sometimes my computer takes more time than it saves, but they don't even measure technology in seconds anymore. They measure it in nanoseconds. But we want to be able to double-click and it be there. We want our page to load instantly, and if it doesn't, then we're going to be on the phone and we're going to be getting different service so that we don't have to wait because we hate waiting. In general, as a people, I don't like to wait. You probably don't either, but we are waiting. As believers in Christ, we are here and we're waiting for the Lord to come back. We're waiting to be in the presence of our Lord. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so whether that be in death or whether that be when the Lord calls us up into His presence at the rapture, whenever that is, until then, we're just stuck and we're waiting to be in His presence. So what are we doing while we wait? While we wait to be in the presence of God, how are we supposed to busy ourselves? I could ask the question this way, why are we here? And you could say, well, we're here to glorify God. And you'd certainly be right, but more specifically than that, what are we supposed to do while we wait to be in the presence of God? Well, tonight I want us to take a look at three things that we should do while we wait. Now, there are more for certain, but these three, I think, would give us enough that we won't get these three accomplished entirely. So let's look at these three tonight. John chapter 17, while we wait to be in the presence of our Lord, what should we do? Number one, we need to know Him. Your turn to John chapter 17, look at verse number 3. This, of course, is Christ praying for all saints here, and He speaks in verse number 3, and He says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Now this word here, this to know, has a lot of meaning behind it. It has the idea of to know intimately, or to know by experience. That's what this, that they might know Thee. This knowing of God is to know by experience. Let me illustrate it this way. I know we have a sister back here from the Philippines, so I know she knows what I'm talking about. Any of you know what balut is? Okay. Have you eaten balut? Do you like balut? Okay, good. You ruined the illustration. Balut is a duck egg that you eat, and it has the duck inside. And you eat it with the feathers and the bones and everything. And it is terrible. Okay? And I tried it, okay? And it's everything that you are thinking right now and more. It's so bad how it tastes. I'm not a big egg person anyway. And when you put the bird in the egg, it just magnifies it so much more. It's really, really bad. But none of you, with one exception in this room, none of you know how bad balut is because you've never tried it. I tried it on a park bench in a city one night. Somebody handed me one and I started eating it. And it was, on a more positive scale, my wife makes a cake. She just made one this past Christmas. It's called Too Much Chocolate Cake. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Too Much Chocolate Cake. It has 3 sticks of butter just in the icing. That's how amazing this cake is, okay? If you'd like the recipe, she has it and she can give it to you after the service. It is amazing, this cake, but you don't know, like this word is talking about, you don't know how good the cake is. You don't know how bad balut is. But yet we read in Scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This knowledge by experience, to know Him, to have a walk with God, it takes more than being able to say that you had your devotions and prayed this morning to say you have a walk with God. A walk with God is more than your quiet time. A walk with God that we're talking about here is a moment by moment by moment awareness of the presence of Christ in your life. A moment by moment awareness of the presence of Christ in your life will alter your behavior. If your pastor were to spend 24 hours handcuffed to you, there's no way on earth you would forget His presence. And yet Christ is much closer. He's all around. And He sees all that we do. He hears all that we do. This moment-by-moment awareness of His presence, the type of knowing that we're talking about, to know by experience, has that in mind. That we are aware constantly of the presence of Christ. That's going to change how you talk. That's going to change what you watch. That's going to change what you listen to. That's going to change your attitudes and your actions when we're aware of the presence of God, like this is talking about. There are many illustrations of men who knew God like this in Scripture. Enoch is mentioned in Genesis chapter 5. It's said that Enoch walked with God, and one day he was not, for God took him. He was just caught up into the presence of God. Abraham is called the friend of God in James chapter 2. David was called a man after mine own heart by God. He was called this in Acts 13, verse 22. None of these men were perfect, for sure. We look at their lives, particularly David, Abraham. Oh my, the trouble that they had and the trouble that they caused. And yet they had what we're talking about, this deep, intimate, personal fellowship with their God. This, what we're reading about, they knew their God. I know my wife very well. I know what makes her happy. I know what makes her sad. Do I know my God like that? Do you know your God like that? That's what this is talking about. While we're waiting to be in His presence, we need to know Him. How? Well, right here is one very good way. By spending time in His Word. He gave us everything we need to know about life and living. We should spend time in it. We should spend time in prayer, and we should spend time in church. We should spend time studying His Word and meditating on His Word so that we can develop this deep, intimate, personal walk with God that we're talking about. That's one thing that we need to do while we wait to be in His presence. Number one, we need to know Him. Number two, we need to imitate Him. Someone once said that nearness is likeness. You hang out with a group of people or a crowd of people long enough, you'll begin to develop their characteristics. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1. While we think about the characteristics of God, now there are, as we know Him, we will know our God's likes and His dislikes. We will understand what pleases Him and what saddens Him. And so we can alter our behavior in such a way. But look down here at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 16, and you see here a command, wherefore it is written, be ye, what's the word? Holy, for I am holy. Think with me for just a moment. What exactly does holiness mean? Holy would have the connotation of sinless, but Christ was holy before there was sin. So it means more than that. What is holy? Well, I would submit to you that you would have a hard time defining the word holy without using God, and you would have a hard time defining God without using holy. He's the only one who is. And yet we read here in 1 Peter that you and I are commanded to be holy, or like God. Now it doesn't take long looking at our own lives to know that we're not like God. We struggle with sin. We have the sins that so easily beset us, and we live in this cycle where we sin. We fall out of fellowship. We have guilt. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're restored to fellowship only to sin again, and to have guilt and to confess, to be restored only to sin again. And the cycle continues. This is where we live, where we confess the same sin daily sometimes, and sometimes multiple times in the same day, that we have this struggle with sin. And yet we're commanded to be holy. It's a problem, isn't it? It's a problem to me. It's a problem to you, because we're made out of the same stuff. What's the answer? How can we imitate Him? We understand knowing Him. That makes sense. That we're to have a fellowship, to have a walk with Him where we understand. But how do we imitate Him when the bar is set so high? How can we accomplish what this is talking about? If God told us to do it, He must have provided a way. Well, He did. It's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You can turn over there if you'd like. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we find God's answer for living this life that we read about. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we read, this is Paul speaking, but we can be in the same situation. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How can you be holy? Well, you can't, because you've tried, and so have I. And I try real hard and I fall flat on my face very, very quickly. How does it work? It's my yielding my body. As we read in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we present our bodies as living sacrifices to God and we say, Lord, manifest your holiness through me, your holiness and my holiness, well, what do we know about our righteousnesses? They are as filthy rags. They're worthless. But the holiness and the righteousness of Christ manifested through my yielded vessel that we read about in Romans chapter 6, that's the answer. Reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Him. I am crucified with Christ. Crucifixion means death. I'm dead in Christ, but I'm alive in Christ. When Christ died, I died. But when Christ rose, now He lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Be ye holy. How? Through Christ. That's the answer. For you, you're struggling with the sin that so easily besets you. Christ is the answer. Not more of your flesh. We've tried that. You've tried that. I've tried that. It's frustrating. You say, boy, I'm not going to do it this time. And you do it again. She said, I'm not going to do it this time. And you do it again. Christ does not intend for you to crawl across the finish line into heaven, living in habitual defeat, surprised by the occasional victory. You can do all things through Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the answer. How do we imitate Him? By allowing Him to manifest His holiness through our yielded vessels. Number one, while we wait to be in His presence, we need to know Him. More than salvation, though it includes salvation. More than salvation, more than devotions. We're talking about a deep, intimate walk with God where you're aware of His presence. We need to imitate Him. We need to be holy as He is holy. Not through our own fleshly power. It's going to take more than your flesh to defeat your flesh. It's going to take Christ in you. The hope of glory. Jude speaks of Now unto him that is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's our God. It can only be accomplished through Christ. Number three, what do we need to do while we wait to be in the presence of God? Number three, we need to evangelize for him. We need to evangelize for our Lord. We spent some time thinking about how we hate to wait. We do. But we're stuck here. But I want you to think about what we've already talked about. We have three things. We have knowing him, imitating him, and evangelizing for him. When Christ does return, or when he calls us home, we will know him in a perfect way, because we won't have this flesh. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him face to face. And we will be like him because we won't have this robe of flesh. We won't have the temptation. We won't have a body cursed by sin. We'll be able to know him like never before. We'll be able to imitate him like never before because we'll have a glorified body. We won't have the same troubles that we have now. We'll know him and we'll imitate him in his presence, but we will not be able to do this last thing. We won't be able to evangelize for him. You see, when you're in his presence, evangelism's over. You can know him for sure. You can imitate him effectively, but you can't evangelize for him anymore. That's for here on earth. That's why we're waiting. That's why he didn't just rapture us out the moment we trusted him. Because he's given us a responsibility to take the gospel, the good news, to those who haven't heard. This command and this commission, if you will, is repeated throughout Scripture in precept and in command, that we are to go and give what we have freely received. We are to freely give. But the sad truth of the matter is that most of the almost 8 billion people who are walking around on planet Earth today have not heard the gospel. And as a result of that, they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. People will spend eternity in hell for one of two reasons, because they either heard and said no, or tragically, because they just never heard. And most of the world's population falls into the second category. They've never been given a clear presentation of the gospel. And it's our responsibility to get it to them. It's your responsibility here in Milton, Florida, to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. How do you do that? We need to be willing to go. If the Lord hasn't called you, then pray he'll call your children. If he hasn't called your children, you can give, you can pray. You must pray for those who will go. God has given us this great commission. We must be busy about it. Someone gave me the illustration. I know you can find anything online, but it sounds about right in the statistics of it. 97% of the world's population, that's almost 8 billion now, 97% of the world has heard the name Coca-Cola. And all of us are part of that 97%. You've heard it. 72% of the world has seen a can or a bottle of Coca-Cola. That's quite a number. 51% of the world's population of almost 8 billion people, so we're talking 4 billion people, have tasted Coca-Cola. That's amazing. Coca-Cola has been in existence since 1886. That's 129 years. We've had the gospel of a risen Christ for 2,000. What am I saying? I'm saying that if God had given the Great Commission to the Coca-Cola company, it would probably be done by now. But he didn't. He gave it to you, and he gave it to me. He didn't give it to angels. You think the angels could do it? You think Gabriel could tell someone how to be saved? I'm sure he could tell someone. We know the angels don't receive redemption, but I'm sure they understand the gospel enough to give it. They could give the verses. He could have written it in the sky. He could have put the stars together so that they told the gospel, but he didn't. He told you to go ye therefore. So how you doing with the third thing that we do while we wait? we need to evangelize for Him. I'd be remiss to stand here in front of you and forget something that's very important in missions. You see, I can go to the Philippines, or I could go to Africa, or South America, or wherever, really, and find people who've never heard the gospel, and I could give them the gospel and have the joy of giving them the gospel for the very first time, and it's exciting to do that. Or I could go out into Milton, Florida, and I could find people who've never heard the gospel. You say, ah, come on. In America? Yes. In America, we're raising a generation of children who've never heard the name Jesus Christ, except on television or used by an angry parent. They've never heard the gospel. We're turning into a mission field. Why am I saying this? Because this is a mission field too. Missions is more than crossing the ocean. Missions is right here. It's right now. You're missionaries, and God's called you to Milton, Florida, or wherever you, whatever town you're from here. You see, the reason that my family and I are going to the Philippines is because God called us to go there. And so we're working on getting there. I trust that the reason, if I were to ask you tonight, point blank, in a personal way, if I were to say, why are you here? So I'm here because it's Sunday. And I'm always here on Sunday. No, I mean, why do you live here in Florida? Because it's cold in Maine, or it's cold in where? No, because the reason you should be here is because God called you here. If God called you elsewhere, you would do well to get there and get busy for Him. Because here's why. Because the wait might be over soon. We don't like to wait. And it could be very, very soon that we're in His presence. 100 years from now, nobody in this auditorium will likely still be alive. We'll all be, hopefully, in the presence of our Lord. How will you have spent what's left of your life? Will you have spent it doing these three things? Knowing Him. Not just your devotions, but knowing Him in a deep, intimately personal way, where you understand the fact that He is here, and He is here right now, and because of that fact, we need to walk circumspectly. Do you know Him like that? Are you imitating Him through His power? Not through your own, but through the power of Christ. Are you saying, not I, but Christ? Are you saying, not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me? Is that your testimony tonight? Are you living a holy life enabled by the power of Christ? Or are you living a defeated life enabled by the power of your flesh? Those are the two choices. You can't even mix them. Christ or self? And number three, how are you doing with evangelism? You, personally, are you willing to go to the mission field? To the foreign field, in fact. Say, I can't. I'm too old. I can't do that. I was just in a missions conference. Steph and I were just in a missions conference where we were by far, in a way, the youngest couple in this missions conference. Most, I think the youngest one was in their late 60s, the youngest missionary couple. Now, they were at they've been established missionaries for a long time. We were in a missions conference in North Carolina where a couple was going to the mission field for the very first time. They were on deputation, and they were 65 and 66, I believe, going to the mission field. God's calling is His enabling. Don't put limits on God. But maybe God hasn't called you to go to the foreign field. Maybe, in fact, God has placed you here to be faithful in this place. But He's called you to be here to do more than warm a pew. He's called you to be here because your neighbors need to hear about it. Gospel means good news, but it's only good news if it gets there in time. If the first time your neighbor hears about Jesus Christ is when they're standing in His presence, it's too late. We need to be busy. I need to be busy. You need to be busy. Let's reach America. Let's reach the world through the power of Christ. While we wait, we're stuck here. Not one of us can will ourselves into the presence of God. We're stuck here. What do? We know Him, we imitate Him, and we evangelize for Him. I trust the Lord has dealt with your heart tonight in one of these three areas, maybe all three of these areas. But I hope that you have allowed the Lord to do a work in your heart tonight. If you can bow your head, close your eyes with me here this evening. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands or for you to come forward or anything like that. You may, if you'd like, you can come forward, but I'm not asking for that. I'm asking you to do business with God, whatever He wants you to do. You say, well, I don't know Him. You know, I'm saved. I trusted the Lord as my Savior on this date and this place, but I don't know Him like what you were talking about. I don't have that awareness of His presence. Well, you need to. Maybe that's what you've been dealt with tonight. Maybe it's this area of imitating Him. You'd say, you know, what you were talking about, trying to beat the flesh and the power of the flesh, that's me. I live in defeat. You don't have to. You can allow Christ to manifest His life and His holiness through you. That's what He intended anyway. Maybe that's it tonight. Or maybe it's this area of evangelism. All of us need to improve in this. I need to improve in this. And I'm a missionary. But all of us need to be more busy. All of us need to be more aware of the souls around us. Whatever God has done in your heart, you do business with God. Whatever He bids you do, you do. For His honor and for His glory. Father, I pray that tonight You would do the work here in hearts. Lord, we love You. And we know that You've left us on this earth for a reason, Lord. And it's not just to pursue our hobbies or to go after wealth or fame, Lord, but You've left us here to do many things, among them to know You and to imitate You, Lord, and to evangelize, to spread the gospel. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful. Lord, may we honor and glorify You with what we do with Your word, even tonight. Lord, however You've dealt with hearts, I pray that changes that need to be made would be made. And Lord, that as a result of our having been in Your house, that eternity would be affected. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We appreciate so much the Linvilles being with us tonight. Don't forget, out in the foyer, they have a table set up with their materials, information. If you have questions for them, Brother Ben will be out there. And so we want to stand together as we conclude our service tonight and take the opportunity to visit their display out in the foyer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the information that was shared with us tonight about the burden that the Linvilles have for the Philippines. Lord, we know that on every place on this earth there are false religions that are claiming the lives of countless millions of people, and they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I thank You for the burden that You've placed on this young couple, and we pray, Father, that You would help us to assist them. We thank You, Father, for the ability that we have to pray and to seek Your face and to give. And we would ask, dear Father, that You would work and provide, that they might be able to raise their support and be able to go to the field soon. We thank You for their vision to expand beyond the Philippines and go into Eastern Asia. We pray, Father, that You would lead and guide and bring them to contacts that are needed as they try to do their work there in that part of the world. And Father, I pray that You would be with us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful in our neighborhoods, sharing the gospel with those that we know, those that are neighbors that we're not sure that they are on their way to heaven. Help us, Father, to speak a word for the Lord Jesus. Help us not to be so about our agenda that we have no room for anyone else to share the good news. And so I pray that You'd help us to understand that it's only good news as long as it's shared in time. And I pray, Father, that You would give us that kind of urgency in our community. Now, Father, dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Pray that You would encourage each one here to pray faithfully for the Linvilles. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.